All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, preseason week 3 edition of the show as we get set for the final preseason game on Saturday night. It'll be the Bucks in Indianapolis, not a normal preseason opponent for them. They kind of have about 6-7 teams they normally play that you're used to them playing, but don't usually go up to Indy for the preseason. They'll do that on Saturday. It'll be the third one, like I said. It'll be the one, now we know, as I record this on Thursday afternoon, just came down a little while ago, Todd Bowles, after practice this morning, said that they will play everybody who is available to play. Not that long, necessarily. We'll see how long, but that means Tom Brady. That means, you know, all the regular starters who are available, and if anybody's nursing anything whatsoever, they probably still won't play. But healthy people are going to go, all of them, top of the roster, down to the bottom. So it's just a reason to watch. You know, obviously, there was the whole thing with Tom Brady, which we're going to talk about on the show with the 11-day hiatus, and he's been back this week, starting on Monday. And so that was the big question is, okay, well, now that he's back, is he going to play at all? He has played, by the way, if you look back at his career history. You had the year since 2008. He's played every single preseason at least for a few snaps. In the third preseason game, he's played every third preseason game since 2008. And it looks like and sounds like that trend will continue. So we'll talk about it. Certainly we want to look ahead to that more than we want to look back at this past Saturday's game in Nashville against the Titans, because my God, that was unwatchable. And you know me, I mean, you know, I always talk about how excited I am even for the preseason because it's something, you know, it's just football on TV. But if you watched that whole game wire to wire this past Saturday, like, it's one thing to just have it on and maybe you were, you know, grilling some food or whatever and just kind of had it on in the background or doing stuff around the house. But I mean, if you sat down on your sofa and looked at the television and watched that game directly, like paid attention for 3 hours, you should either get some sort of a prize or you should be committed, or maybe both, because it was tough. I mean, it was not an easy. I didn't stick with it. I had it on. I had the last channel button going, and it was interesting because what was going on this past Saturday? Well, the Rays were playing. Or did they have an early? They might have had an earlier game, like a 4 p.m. game. I remember being home Saturday. Oh, I know what it was, because we had the U.S. Gymnastics Championships. We were hosting them here in Tampa, which was pretty cool, by the way, the United States Championships. And my wife and my daughter is in the gym. She's only 7, but, you know, typical. A lot of little girls at that thing all over the place, gymnasts from all over town. So they had, I mean, this is the national championships. Like, this is like a big deal. So we had the Saturday night was the men's, and then Sunday night was the women's. But my wife and my daughter were there. I actually ended up kind of going back and forth between that and the Bucks game. And I can tell you where I think more athletic feats were performed. You know, watching some of those guys on the rings and things like that and the pommel horse, and it's just ridiculous what they can do. But if you had told me at any point, hey, the Bucks, even in a preseason game, the Bucks are going to be competing for airtime, not just granted it, but competing for airtime with the U.S. Gymnastics Championships, I may not have believed that. But a game like Saturday can break you, even the hardest among us of football fans. So what came out of that game? Well, Aaron Stinney out, literally out for the season. That was one thing that came out of that game. Not much else. And so we'll talk about the whole situation with the offensive line, Brady being back, all those things on the show today. If you want to email me, it's always easy to do, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Oh, and I have completed the Buccaneers fridge schedule. It is currently sitting, adorning the side of my refrigerator. And those of you that have emailed me asking for them, I have sent out most. If you email me and you haven't gotten one yet, you're going to get it, okay? It's coming. And if you do want one, you don't know what I'm talking about, I print up the Bucs schedule. Like, I make a custom schedule where I put every team's logos and I do it. It looks real nice. I'll tweet a picture of it for those of you that are wondering. If you just go to my Twitter feed, @BobbyGameDay. But I'll email you the file. And all you got to do is use a color printer. I mean, you could use black and white, but I highly recommend color. Pop that baby up, and then up on the fridge it goes. And only then is it truly football season, when you get the fridge schedule going. I like to write every week the win or loss and then the score. And I've been doing that since my grandmother showed me how that she used to do that when I was like, you know, 6 years old, and I've been doing it every year since. So email me if you want a fridge schedule, and if you already did, I am sending it to you if I have not already. And so, okay, let's talk about what we got here, because the Tom Brady thing, you know, now that he's back, and it's been a pretty good week of practice. He practiced for 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, then he took Wednesday off, and he was out there again today. And again, I'm recording this on Thursday. So, what do we know now? You know, we know that he was in the Bahamas with Giselle. Reasons for the overall deal here are still speculation, and I'm not going to get into speculation because I don't know, you don't know. There are some people that know, but even they aren't saying, and it's not that big of a deal. What matters to me is that he's back, and he appears to be invested. And, you know, I said this before. I mean, with someone like him, obviously, you trust him to know what he's doing. And I'm not literally worried about the 11 practices. It's more of, you know, what's the reason for this? And it wasn't 11 practices, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm not worried about any practice time missed. It's more of like, what is the cause of this? Is it something that's going to happen again? Certainly his personal life or anybody's personal life comes first. And, you know, was it a medical thing? You know, all this speculation doesn't sound like it was any of that. So whatever, I'm not interested. There was even a theory out there that he was going on The Masked Singer, which I didn't even know what the hell that was, but I guess some stupid internet rumor got started. And people actually, like, credibly reported on it. Whatever. No, he was doing whatever he was doing. You just don't whatever it is to be something that crops back up or is a recurring thing throughout the season. Even if he doesn't miss any more time, you know, you want everything free and clear, right? Clear mind. So when you look at what Tom Brady has done, I mean, I still don't think it registers with us. I know even with me, I had to read it again just today. Tom Brady at age 44, okay, he led the NFL in yards and touchdowns this past season, 5,316 yards, 43 touchdowns, age 44. Like, it's amazing how quick you can get used to that. Like, we didn't have Tom Brady at all before, and then he came here in 2020, and it was like, oh my God, we're getting Tom Brady. Then he won the Super Bowl, and then you go into, okay, well, we got Tom Brady now mode, where you're, like, used to it. It's only been, like, two seasons, guys. And it's amazing. Like, it's actually amazing. So, when you think of that, we're already playing with house money. I mean, after 2020, we were playing with house money. But we've got this one more season. We seem like we got a pretty decent roster, right? You feel like you want to cash that in, especially because you know, like, you might be staring into the other side of the abyss once he leaves. And Kyle Trask, you know, I'm not going to charge anybody with Saturday's game. That was a debacle, and it's preseason, and nobody cares. But, you know, maybe the brakes got pumped a little bit on that whole thing on Saturday. So he's back. He's going to play a little bit on Saturday night. Fine, whatever. Then the Bucs have 2 weeks off. Remember, they got rid of a preseason game, right? They used to play four preseason games. Now they play three. They didn't really alter the calendar, though. They still play the first preseason game when they always did, and the second and the third. They would have had a fourth preseason game in the old days this coming Thursday night, a week from right now, basically. That one is what got erased, but it doesn't really change anything. They just have 2 weeks off now, and they won't appear again until September 11th on that Sunday nighter against Dallas. And we'll see what happens until then. But in the meantime, what we do have, all right, we got cuts coming up after Saturday's game. So on early next week, Monday or whatever, they'll get down to 53, and that's when you start gearing up for the actual opener. Now, what I always say, and especially it's true this year with the Bucs needing, I don't think they need a starting left guard. I think they're good with Luke Gedecky. We'll see him Saturday. But even so, they need depth. So you make your final 53. But that's not necessarily it, because then everybody else is also making their final 53, which means they're cutting other people. So then after everybody makes their final 53 roster and they've got that set, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe a guy somebody else cut I like better than somebody I kept on my final 53. So now let me cut this person and get this person. So it still shuffles through a few times. Really and truly, it'll be several days into next week when all the dust settles, and maybe even into the week after that before we get things going. But one recognizable name has already gone by the boards here, with Cyril Grayson being injured / waived this week. And he was not, the Bucs have a really deep receiver room, and they may end up keeping it seven guys, or maybe six, but possibly seven. But either way, I mean, when you look at what they already have, and then bringing in Russell Gage, bringing in Julio Jones, Godwin Evans, those are your top four, then you've got two, maybe three more spots. and you've got one that's automatically a return guy, and you still got Scotty Miller, you still got Rashad Perriman sitting there, and Grayson wasn't going to make the cut. So they could still potentially get him back on the practice squad, and of those names I just mentioned, he seems like the most likely to still be available. I think if they cut Perriman or Scotty Miller, those guys will end up on other rosters pretty quickly. And they actually, Tampa Bay Times had a little article about the situation with the receivers, and I was reading about it and just how quickly things can change. Because, I mean, you know, going back to 2020, like we just talked about, Scotty Miller, like, that was, besides the Rondy Barber interception return for a touchdown to clinch a Super Bowl berth in 2002, or January 2003, that Scotty Miller touchdown right before halftime of the NFC Championship game in Green Bay in 2020, or January 2021, I mean, that's one of the most incredible plays in Bucs history. It's legendary. I don't know. I mean, the Bucs eked out that game as it was without that play. Who knows what would have happened, but I can say this much, and this includes Rondy Barber's interception. I've never been so in utter disbelief that something so good could happen than when that happened. Like, you know, you're just hoping something kind of good happens, like, hey, maybe we can get a field goal here or something, you know, something like that. And then the most astronomically awesome thing possible happens right at that moment. Like, that was the Scotty Miller touchdown. Like, we're not going to score a touchdown here, you know, like, we're just going to get a field goal, maybe, let's hope we can. And I still can't believe that play happened. It's legendary. Scotty Miller, I'll never forget him. Even if we end up waving him, which maybe they do, like, if you're a Bucs fan and you were on board for all that in 2020, which I guess everybody was, you're not, I mean, it's unforgettable. Like, at least Rondy Barber, like, with him, like, he was already a franchise legend even before that play, and that just kind of, you know, that was the signature moment of his career, but it was hardly the only one. But with Scotty Miller, it's like Mike Brosseau's homer against the Yankees in the ALCS, also in 2020 in Game 5. Just guys who did it, and then they may end up being gone after that, even though you cannot make a bigger, more important play. But we'll see. I mean, there's still some time, and I know Scotty Miller, you know, he's not known for his special teams as much, and that's how you make these bottom-of-the-roster spots. Same thing with Perriman. Perriman played one snap, I think, on special teams last year, but you better believe they're ready to do it now. I mean, Miller did some punt coverage the other night, and, you know, just whatever. It's just anything to make yourself useful, you got to go out there and try and do. So we'll see who ends up lasting and who ends up not, and, you know, they've got a few other of those guys, too, a very crowded receiving room. So that's one of the places to watch for cuts and things like that. And as far as the offensive line, so we know this as well. Yeah, obviously, Stinney out for the year after what happened the other night. We've got Luke Gedecky, who has been running with the ones in practice and is starting on Saturday night in the preseason game against the Colts. So he's the left guard right now. And the Bucs have made it sound like they have no intention, or at least not before cutdown, no intention of going out of house and getting somebody else. They're good with what they have. And I mean, if you look at the offensive line right now, obviously they've lost, you know, Stinney, Ryan Jensen. But I mean, if you look at the offensive line left to right now, you still have Donovan Smith left tackle, presumably Gedecky left guard, Hainsey at center. They're good to go. And J.C. Treader just retired, so you can stop saying his name. Shaq Mason, right guard. Tristan Wirfs, whose oblique thing is supposedly not a big deal, and he's going to be fine at right tackle. So that's okay. That's fine. I'll take that five. Like, I've already told you, I think Hainsey's pretty decent. I think the Bucs think he's pretty decent. And even though Jensen, obviously, is a heart and soul guy you hate to lose, they drafted Hainsey for a reason. So now that Jensen got hurt, there was no need to go out and get somebody else. And he's been doing pretty well by all accounts. With Gedecky against Tennessee on Saturday, he played 30 snaps. He did have two holding penalties and one sack allowed in the 30 snaps. And again, I mean, I hate to parse these things too much. That's not great, but, you know, he is also a rookie. So it's, you know, it's one thing if a guy has shortcomings and you think they're just shortcomings because he has shortcomings. And another thing if you think a guy's learning how to play the position and picking up stunts and twists and all the things that come with it. You know, things that, you know, you're going to get some mistakes out of the way early. And it may well bleed into the regular season, too. So I'm not saying it's just, oh, okay, who cares, it's preseason. It may have mistakes for a while. But that's okay. That's part of the deal. And, you know, would love to have had Stinney. Leverett played in two games last year. It's his second year, so he's only a little bit more experienced than a rookie would be anyway. And they like what they're seeing out of Gedecky. So, okay, there you have it. That's your offensive line. It's a little bit of a concern, of course, but at the same time, I mean, if you're going to have any offensive line issues, you would prefer Tom Brady be the guy to have him in front of because he obviously gets the ball out quicker than anybody in football. That doesn't mean it doesn't matter. I've heard some people saying, LOL, Brady releases the ball in like 0.35 seconds or whatever it is, so who cares about the offense? What Brady was able to do, like I already gave you those numbers from last season and things like that, that was in no small part because of the clean pockets. I got a new TV the other day, and so like ceremonially, I wanted to make the first thing I ever watched on the new TV be like the Bucks 2020 Super Bowl video. So I went on YouTube on the TV and brought it up. And just watching just the whole highlight package on there, and I was just noticing that. Like, he's just standing there, boom, boom. And that doesn't mean he can't get the ball rid of quickly if he needs to. Obviously, we know he knows how to do that. But it also doesn't mean it doesn't matter. So it's a little bit of a concern. But yes, if that's going to be a concern, I'd rather it be a concern with Tom Brady, who knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball before he even gets it in his hands, usually, and knows what he's looking at. I think they'll deal with it. Back to Brady, I was reading this. This made me laugh because I'm a big Seinfeld fan. This reminded me of Seinfeld. But Todd Bowles earlier was asked about, he was talking to the media after practice, was asked about Brady's absence. And he said, when you factor normally scheduled veteran days, which we know Brady takes veteran days off, all the veterans do every few days or whatever, and then days off for the preseason game itself, which he wasn't going to play, and even if he was here, he's like, Brady really only missed three practices. It reminded me of when they're, I don't know how many of you guys watch Seinfeld, but remember when Jerry and Elaine were visiting Jerry's parents in Florida, and they don't use the air conditioning. It's like 8,000 degrees in their condo, and they're just miserable. Like, Jerry and Elaine just want to go home, and Elaine's got her back thrown out, and they don't get to go home for something like 3 days or something. And Jerry's like, well, when you factor in, sleeping and meals and showers, it's really only like 6 hours of actual time that you have to endure before we can go home. It's nothing. It's 3 days. But that's what Bull sounds like. I mean, and again, I don't even care. They could have all been practices that he would have had. I don't care if Brady never practices. He knows what the hell he's doing. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't need practice. But I just thought it was funny trying to, 11 days? Hey, if he told me he was taking another 11 right now and he'd be back for the Sunday night game against the Cowboys, I'd say okay to that too. And then there was all this speculation on Twitter that he had already booked the trip that was not refundable when he thought he was retiring. And he's like, okay, well, I'll unretire, but yeah, I got this trip in August. I got to do that. And fine, whatever, I'm not going to spend this whole season, I swear, I'm not going to spend this whole season like dwelling on the fact that it's probably the last time we're going to have Brady or have a team like this. It's not the last time, but I mean, last time like this. But in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, let's just enjoy it, man. And hopefully it's enjoyable. And you can see all those games again on the side of your fridge if you want to email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I'll send you the fridge schedule if you want one. Ask me for it. Or on Twitter, you can find me at Bobby Game Day. I was also interested. I saw the Forbes annual NFL franchise valuation list they came out with. And the Bucks, out of 32 teams, were actually a little lower than I thought. If you haven't read this yet, then I'll give you a second to try and guess where the Bucks rank in franchise value out of 32 teams. And before I saw the list, I probably would have guessed they were about middle of the pack or something, because I figure, Super Bowl in 2020, but even more than that, having Tom Brady right now, which I know that's not permanent, but it just raised the profile and just raised the general, I would think, value of the team somewhat. I would have guessed like somewhere between 16 and 20. So like not top half, but near the middle of the pack. They're actually 24th out of 32 with a franchise value of $3.675 billion. And so that is second in the division that they're in. The Falcons are considered a little bit more valuable by Forbes, but they are ahead of Carolina and New Orleans. And it's out of 32 teams. Like I said, the Cowboys are number one at $8 billion. And again, try and get, it's easy to just dismiss big numbers because they're big. But, I think people, and this is one of the reasons why we don't necessarily, I think, process or respect the wealth inequality that we have in not just in this country, but in this country and in the world, Because you get to a certain number and you think people are just rich. But,
I mean, you have to actually think about it. Of course, it's obvious. It's math. But still, you have to actually think about it. Like, if someone has a wealth of $10 million, oh, what a super rich person, you know, or even $50 million, whatever it is, you know, super rich, right? Someone who has $100,000 is way closer on a number line, if you actually visualize a number line, way closer to the person with $10 million or $40 million than that person would be to someone with $1 billion, like exponentially, right? And like, I mean, 100,000 times 100 is 10 million. 10 million times 100 is 1 billion. They're both times 100, but no, the other 100 times 100 is bigger. It's exponential, right? Because you're multiplying by 10 million. So like, if I showed you a number line way to the left, you'd have 100,000. Then just a little bit further toward the middle, you'd have 10 million. And then way over to the right, you'd have 1 billion. That's just 1 billion, okay? So at a certain point, though, our minds don't work that way. Like, we can't comprehend. It's almost like the universe. Like, we can't comprehend the size of the universe. You just hear these numbers thrown around all the time. Ah, 3.5 billion, 5 billion, whatever, you know. It's, like, it's mind-boggling. So the Bucks come in at 3.675 billion. The Cowboys, number one, at 8 billion, over double that of the Bucks, which, again, makes the Bucks number seem small, but it's not. It's just that the Cowboys' number is astronomically huge. Patriots, number two, at just over almost $6.5 billion. Then the Rams, Giants, Chicago, Bears round out the top five. The least valuable, if you want to call it that, which I guess is literally what it is, franchise, is the Bengals, and they're at a paltry $3 billion. So you see that crow's nest, those crow's nest seats out there in the end zone. They're going to milk every single thing they can out of the final year of Brady, understandably. Keeping in mind that their franchise is only worth $3.5 billion, and, you know, that's lagging behind a lot of the teams in the NFL. I forgot about the English Premier League soccer franchise, also valued in the billions. I'm just going to leave that part out. But you can see what I mean. So let's get ready for Saturday night, folks. I'll tell you what, this is the final weekend of, I mean, there's football, of course, but this is the final weekend where it's not really a big football weekend. There's no football that counts in the NFL. There is a smattering of college games. No really good college games. But when it's been the offseason for 8 months, every college game is a good college game. And yeah, I'll tell you, my ass will be parked here on Saturday through the day watching, I don't care who it is. I think my wife's alma mater, UNC, is hosting Florida A&M. You better believe we'll be watching that. Florida State plays Duquesne. I know the Seminoles fans are excited. One, it gives them a chance to get a season-opening win, which is, you know, I mean, Duquesne shouldn't quite be as tough as Jacksonville State, so I think they ought to be able to handle it. And then there's some other games as well. I mean, as a Gator, look, I'm not in no position to make fun of people. We went 6-7 last year. They don't play till next week, though. But this is the last weekend where you kind of just have a little bit of time to get some things done. So get all that done. And then we're in game mode, you know. The Bucks will be off after this Colts game. We'll talk about the cuts and things like that on our show next week and get the roster thing all situated. And at that point, it's all about Dallas. Although this week in practice, I'm sure the Bucks have been working on the Dallas game even now, you know, going over looks and things like that. I mean, they've already started their game prep for that despite having the one last preseason game. If you are looking for a brand new or pre-owned vehicle, whether it's a car, truck, or a van, I highly recommend you go, and you can do it right now, on the website, BillCurryFord.com. And remember, Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And check out everything they've got going on over there. And no matter what you end up doing, all the vehicles there are eligible for the unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. So as long as you buy a car from Bill Curry Ford, whatever it is, all right, you're covered as long as you own it. Like, you don't have to, it's not like the first year or the first 2 years. You are covered. The powertrain warranty, engine trouble, boom, bring it back into the service center. You don't have to worry. So you don't ever have that hanging over your head. That is huge. On top of that, you do get a year of free service. The oil changes and all that are taken care of. You get 10 years of roadside assistance, so you don't even need AAA or anything like that. That's all taken care of as well. Check it all out, BillCurryFord.com. Then go in person to where they've always been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Check out the showroom. Check out the lot. Talk to a good friend of mine and of Joe Bucks fan, GM Sean Sullivan, who will get everybody taken care of there. And Couldn't recommend it enough. If you want to stay home, though, they will bring it to your house. Like, you can test drive a car, they'll bring it to you. You can make the purchase, they will deliver that to you. You never have to actually leave home, office, wherever, if you want to do it that way as well. But check them out at BillCurryFord.com. So that is it for now. We'll get ready for this Colts game on Saturday. And it'll be at least something to look forward to beyond the scope of what we've had the first two preseason games, because this time we get almost all the starters. I just still wouldn't expect, you're not going to see Wirfs or, like I said, anybody nursing any kind of injury, you won't see. But still, Brady and others, okay? So enjoy it. Have fun. We'll be back next week with a show. In the meantime, thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for putting me in front of you on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to be up there and have you guys have a chance to listen to me. Thanks to you guys for listening. Get all your stuff done this weekend. Be safe and have fun. And wherever you are, I'll talk to you next week. Until then, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. To stay.